Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. This is a special edition of Atlanta Business Radio that we call Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors, episode number 8. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, we're broadcasting from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in Sandy Springs, Georgia. And as always as well, my co-host is alongside me here today, Bonnie Buell Russett. Good morning, Bonnie.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fantastic. It's a terrific Thursday. Weekend's almost here, Memorial Weekend, just right around the corner. You got some plans in the works?
You know, I don't have a lot of plans for this weekend. It's the following weekend. I'm taking my husband to a cabin in the woods for his birthday.
Nice.
So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to hearing about that next time around on the next episode. You can give us an update on how that was in the woods with at the cabin there. So
setting for a horror movie, probably.
But go either way.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not. And today we have a special guest in the studio with us. He is Timothy Jones from the Timothy Jones Companies. Good morning, Timothy.
Good morning.
Or should I call you TJ?
I'll go with TJ. It makes me feel young.
TJ, that's right. That's good. And so thank you for joining us here on Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors. For our listeners, if you could, to kind of bring them up to date, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, thanks. I started my career as a high school teacher, the idealistic English teacher.
Wow.
I was a football coach. And, you know, prior to that, I had the great opportunity to be a leader in my younger years. And so I think the concept of leadership has always been something that I've been passionate about, and how leaders can influence the lives of other people. So I got into the pharmaceutical industry about 20 years ago. And in that industry, I spent time as a sales leader. I was head of training and leadership development. And I learned a lot about leadership because I had 20 years in the industry, but 18 bosses in that amount of time.
Yeah. So along the way, you learned about leadership, you learned how to sales and influencing and building relationships. And here you are today to talk about that particularly, as you have a book coming out very soon.
That's right. I'm launching the book, or it's being published on the 25th of September.
All right. And the name of that book is?
The Caring Warrior.
The Caring Warrior. Very interesting. So that's going to be coming out soon, and in detail about some of the experiences from TJ in all those years. So let's just start about, it is about leadership. And so we want to kind of break that down for our listeners. What is your definition of leadership?
Caring. That's the short answer.
One word, caring.
You know, the longer answer comes from John Maxwell, who's actually an Atlanta native. And he says that it's not about titles or position, it's one life influencing another. And I believe that. You are acting on behalf of other people. I believe that's what leadership is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, influence for sure. And influencing people in many different ways. And there's many styles of leadership. Bonnie, how would you describe your style of leadership?
It was interesting. TJ and I actually had lunch and we're talking about that. And I guess in some ways I do fall under that caring leadership kind of, you know, I want to, one, I try to hire people that are smarter than me, and I've managed to hire everybody on my team is much smarter than I am, I'm sure. And want to create an environment where everybody works hard and contributes toward the goal of the company, but also gets something for themselves as well. You know, whether that be camaraderie, whether they're learning something new on the job from what they're doing and from each other, and kind of really try to create an atmosphere where it's a very positive setting is kind of the way I've managed for the last close to 7 years now, I guess.
And you do that almost naturally, I would imagine. It's not something you have to say, man, I got to be a good caring leader. God, and you fight it. It happens organically, naturally, and you enjoy being that style of leader.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And frankly, you know, having TJ and I do have this in common. While I've not worked anywhere for 20 years straight, I had a whole lot of different bosses as well. And some were excellent examples and some were atrocious examples, but you learn from both. And, you know, you learn what not to do and what to do and kind of create your own leadership philosophy based on that a lot.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, so many times when we're in a position to either interview for a job or we're in the hiring role, it's all about money and opportunity and the growth of the organization. And typically what's going on internally, sometimes subconsciously, is will this company, will this hiring manager care about my future? Will I be developed? Will my talents be appreciated and fertilized, you know, for the future? And the risk of sounding negative, the engagement and trust scores are still pretty low. Believe it or not, since the year 2000, the engagement scores across U.S. workers have stayed at about 30%, which means roughly 70% are not engaged and essentially do not feel like they can trust their organization or their senior leadership.
And that's across all industries, right?
Yes.
And not just one particular sector.
Yeah.
And so can we look at it from such a broad stroke that way, or can we dial it even further down to each industry has a style of leadership? So therefore, you need to, if you know you're going into the mining world, you're going to be a miner, your boss is not going to be very caring. You know, he's probably going to put you to work 12 hours a day. So how do you break that down into different industries?
Well, you know, obviously my background is in a particular area, medical sales, but I have been exposed to clinicians in hospitals, physicians out in the field, and I have worked with some other industries. And so my thought is that there is probably some differences in industries depending on what products and services are offered. But I think the principles of leadership and human connection, empowering others and having people feel that you're looking out for them in their best interest is a universal concept. And that includes some of your background, as we spoke of.
Right.
The military.
Very true. Yeah. Good leaders get to influence you and you don't even know you're doing the task. They don't have to yell at you. They don't have to demand it. It just happens. And then when you're done, you realize you're being influenced and not through, such harsh, direct actions. And that makes a good leader. A good leader also is always evaluating their leadership and learning how to grow and be a better leader. If you think you've got it figured out, then you're probably a step behind already. So, and what are your thoughts about that?
No, I completely agree. And something to add to that is, you know, I think good leaders and caring leaders, to what TJ's saying, inspire people to contribute more. You know, if somebody thinks that you actually care about them as a person and what it is that they do, they're more likely going to be working harder for you and contributing more to the company because they feel like they're part of a family almost.
Sure.
And, you know, not that, and I'm sure you can comment on
sure.
this too, not that, you know, we all need to be sitting around holding hands, singing Kumbaya. We're right, all like, right. We got businesses to run. We got stuff to do.
That's right.
But, you know, kind of trying to create that atmosphere where it's like, okay, I do care about what's going on in your life. And, you know, we all bring that to the table every day at work. Can't leave that stuff at home. So, you know, let's try to create an environment that allows people to flourish.
Very true.
That's one of the questions I've had about the word caring. I'm sure that it could potentially come across like we're talking about stuffed animals and lollipops. My idea about caring is caring enough to hold people accountable.
That is true. You got to hold people accountable.
That's right.
Right.
Caring enough to involve people in understanding, as Simon Sinek says, the why of the company. What is it that we're trying to accomplish? And I believe that has to go beyond financial goals, mm-hmm. you know, something larger than the individual. And so I think you have to care enough to get the right people on board, to get the right leaders on board. And if they're not, then caring also means that you see the larger picture and putting the right people in the right positions.
As the workforce is becoming more and more diversified, not only with people's backgrounds, but ages, millennials mm-hmm. and baby boomers working together, does that, from your perspective, require different leaders for different individual or different style leadership within the workplace?
Absolutely. I'm not that far out from the time that I was in corporate America, and I was able to hire hundreds of people, many of which came from the millennial generation. And I suppose I'm tipping my hat and saying that I'm of Generation X.
Yeah.
But so many of those individuals bring a different perspective. They were raised differently. The historical and political environment was different. But I'm excited about the millennials. I truly am, because I believe there's so much opportunity for them to lead us into that next millennium. Pardon the... Mm-hmm.
No, you're right.
So they also, I'm generalizing, but they desire more meaning in their work. And frankly, they will not stay at a company or put up with harsh command and control type of leadership. They want to be involved in the conversation.
You're right. And they're willing to give up a few dollars of salary to be more in an environment that they resonates with them and their personal mission. And certainly there's a lot of other things to think about there. But the leadership itself, we've got to make sure we're passing the baton on to the next generation so this leadership does not is not forgotten about as the next millennial take control of the corporate workspace.
Yeah, I would say, and in the industries that we work with, which is kind of law and accounting primarily, that whole idea of succession planning is one of the huge issues that these firms are facing, because you've got the more, I don't want to say, you know, harsh leaders in the baby mm-hmm. boomers who, well, you know, I picked myself up by my own bootstraps and nobody held my hand. So damn it, I'm not going to do that for these kids. That's right. And, you know, then you've got the millennials and you've got kind of Gen X in the middle who's just, you know, trying to put their kids in college and such now at this
yes.
point. And the communication and, you know, what is expected by each of those groups is just an enormous issue in these firms, because, you know, they're just not, the leaders aren't handing the baton to the current leaders aren't handing the baton to the emerging leaders or giving them the training that they need. And, you know, a lot of these millennials are like, you know what, I don't see a path to partnership here.
No.
So I'm just going to go into business and,
right.
you know, be a controller rather than somebody in public accounting in a firm. And, you know, it's really shaking up that industry in particular.
That's right. There's definitely a more entrepreneurial viewpoint to begin with. And I believe that the millennials look at their work within an organization as free agency. You know, they are bringing their special skills and talents. And as I said before, they want to be involved in the conversation. And so to basically spend a short period of time in development or to not be conscious at all of bringing leaders up through the organization in a purposeful way, in a determined or discerning way, you're going to be vulnerable to retention issues
mm-hmm.
and human resource issues, because you haven't brought people along and you are not pointing to the future. People won't see where they fit into that and they will look elsewhere.
I mean, and it's not a difficult decision for them to make, you know, back in my father went to work for AT&T right out of, you know, a school
mm-hmm.
and retired from AT&T, you know, I mean, it has retirement and benefits and all these wonderful things that he lives on. Well, that's not anything that I've ever had the option to look at. And it's even less so for the next generation. So, you know, that loyalty to a company is just, In so many cases, there's no reason to be loyal. So the leadership is often the one thing that will keep people there.
One of the things that I think people forget to notice is that the companies that are the best companies to work for, that win those awards, mm-hmm. are pretty consistent. They're usually on the list and they may move, you know, a few places here and there. But they're also extremely profitable companies.
Yes.
You know, and some of the typical ones come to mind, like Google or Zappos, Genentech, but there's also some, you know, some lesser known companies. My hometown, Rochester, New York, there's a grocery store chain called Wegmans. They've been on that list every year, the Fortune list that's been in existence. And they call themselves a caring company.
Yes.
Which I find very interesting. And they're extremely profitable.
Yeah, we recently featured the Container Store here on the show. 17 years in a row, they have been voted best companies to work, one of the best to work for. And they preach and practice conscious capitalism. And I think that involves leadership all the way down, making sure you're not only caring about your customers, but you're caring about your employees and the overall health of the industry and business itself. And that's why they're growing and expanding, especially here in the Atlanta area. So we're talking with Timothy Jones, TJ, and he's with the Timothy Jones Companies. He's got a new book coming out, The Caring Warrior, soon to be released September 25th. You'll be able to get that book. Who is the audience designed for, the book reader itself? Who are you writing this book for?
Well, there's actually three sections to the book. And the best way to break those down is the individual, the team, and the company. And where I'm going with that is that it all begins with the individual person. We each wake up every day mm-hmm. with our own thoughts, our own challenges, wondering where we fit in to it all, you know, the meaning. And certainly, are we doing the work that we want to be doing? You commented earlier, I thought it was great. You said everybody has a book in them, mm-hmm. whether or not they have the opportunity to put it out there.
We all have stories to share.
And that's right.
Story sharing, telling stories is one of the oldest human forms of communication. So we love sharing stories.
Well, and you use the word story. It's true. And I think just to tie this back to what we're talking about with organizations and teams, what story are you telling mm-hmm. as an organization, as a team leader, call it manager, supervisor? You are a huge part of the story of those individual people's lives. What will that story sound like? Yeah. And at the end of your career, do you want to have been a significant positive part of that person's story or negative? Because mm-hmm. we all know that when people go home, they're talking about their job and they're typically talking about the positive or negative qualities of their boss. So, you know, back to the book for a moment. The middle section of the book really talks about how a leader can influence a team.
A sales team or a marketing team, something like that.
Any team.
And then...
SEAL Team 6?
Any team.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And I'll just reference something. There's the name is escaping me right now, but a leader named Jocko Willink, he and his teammate wrote a book about ownership. And he was interviewed on a podcast that I listened to, and he was asked to define leadership. And the phrases and the concepts that came up were love, humility, and caring, mm-hmm. which I found very interesting. This is
coming from a SEAL team member, right? And leader of many organizations. You're right. And those were the basic fundamentals of his leadership style.
After that interview, I decided, okay, I can come out and say that I care about people.
I care.
People.
And the caring warrior is what that's all about for sure. And so that's coming out later this summer. And you can get yours at thecaringwarrior.com will be the website.
That's right.
And you can go there and get it. And so when did you know that you wanted to write this book? You've spent 20 years. You've learned all these lessons. It's one thing to kind of start a company and help others. But then to say, you know what? I want to put all this down into a book and help as many people as possible. When did that realization come to you?
I would say it was brewing over the final 3 years in the industry. I had been through major mergers and acquisitions, seven or eight. I say between seven and eight because one was, you know, a divestiture. And nonetheless, I went through a number of leadership changes. And I was in the unique role to be in charge of training and in charge of leadership development. And so those surveys that we all are at least familiar with, if we haven't been through them, the 360s, I was the guy that put those together and analyzed them. And it was interesting that the numbers typically came out in the mid-range, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, the scores for individual leaders and the company. And there's a number of different competencies that are reviewed. We're somewhere in the range of 3.2, but it was the commentary. It was the written comments that came back that were very, very telling. Mm-hmm. And often it was about, I don't trust my manager. I don't trust senior leadership.
It was a common theme in all the
That's
cons
absolutely
to their
right.
jobs. Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think it began there. I had a few wonderful examples of leadership, as you said, Bonnie.
Good and bad.
Some bad.
<Yes.
laughs> And no disrespect to anyone individual. I think some of that had to do with change and culture. But it began to brew there. And then I found myself starting to get pretty negative. I was successful. Financially, I was doing quite well. But I was traveling a ton. And I was feeling like I wasn't cared about, frankly. Right. And I decided to get on the rooftop mm-hmm. and say something about it mm-hmm. and write that book.
And would you lock yourself into your mountain cabin for the weekend and just you didn't come out till the book was done? Or was it a little bit of a slow drip, daily writing and kind of getting out that way?
Well, I don't know what it's like for Nicholas Sparks or any of the
King.
It was a wonderful and painful process. And actually, my in-laws have a lovely place in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I did go out to their lake house and do some writing.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Isolate yourself, you know, kind of, you have to do a lot of inward thinking and perspective yeah. to mm-hmm. get that out on paper. And did you like to type or did you write it all in handwritten and then, you know, by the fireside with a glass of brandy? I mean, what did that scene look like for you?
Trust me, if they had brandy in the closet, I would have found it. It's a really interesting thing to go through. And my answer to that question is, writing on paper is usually where I begin, and then I take it to the laptop.
Yeah, kind of a progression from there. And then you got to send it off to the editor. And mm-hmm. that I've heard from writing a book can be a tough moment as well, because then they start critiquing you and saying, no, take this out, put this in. And you're the one, it's your baby. So how was that experience for you?
By the time I put it into the hands of the publisher and the very talented people at Advantage Media, I was ready to get some feedback. I had been pretty isolated in my thinking after many years of managing, leading, training people. I like being around people. I get my energy from that. And so writing is a pretty isolating experience. And so I was very interested in getting feedback. And frankly, the manuscript that I sent had some great ideas and some great stories. This is the feedback that they've given me. But we had to reshape. Mm-hmm. We had to, you know, sort of remodel the outline. And I was grateful for that. But you do feel a little bit like it's your baby, a little bit of, you want to protect what it is that you're trying to do.
Right, right.
Now, during that process, did you write the entire book and send it off to them? Or was it, you know, a chapter or two at a time? Because I know when I did mine, similar in that, you know, I actually had to be in Fort Lauderdale for some business and I just added on a week and hold myself up. And I literally wrote 2/3 of the book in a week.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But I was also a hermit.
You didn't go anywhere.
Ordered food, you know, everything. But I was able to send off one or two chapters at a time and get that feedback during the process so I could apply the notes that they gave me on the first couple of chapters to the rest of the book as I was writing it.
That works.
That was not your case, is it?
No. And I will claim, you know, my naivety. I really thought sort of the romantic idea of, you know, the Stephen King, what's the movie where he goes up into the cabin?
Yeah, right.
Kathy Bates.
Yes.
Misery.
Yes.
Misery. Yes. Thank you. I imagine that you have this rush of creativity and passion and the pen goes to work for you. Yep. And that at some point you put it in someone's hands and they say, this is great. This is fresh. This is new.
You should write another one.
And there's a lot of, at least I experienced many stops and starts. And it wasn't until I got some really good advice that I was able to take the manuscript, which I thought was everything I had at that particular moment, and we reshaped it. And frankly, mm-hmm. I forget who said the quote, but you know, if I had had more time, I would have written less, you know, which means the editing
process. Less is more.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And particularly these days.
Right. And then the book will be launched September 25th, and you'll probably go on some sort of whirlwind book tour from every place around the country. But you'll be out there speaking as well, helping people understand. This book is available not only for the individual, but if they want to get their sales team and everybody the book, or perhaps a young entrepreneur out there wants to learn about leadership as well, this would be a good resource.
Absolutely. I really do believe that it starts with the individual. And I would characterize the book as somewhat of a self-development book combined with leadership.
Yeah, learning. And as we said earlier, a good leader is always educating themselves and learning how to be a better leader. You can never stay stagnant in your leadership evolution there. So, and then after that, you got any events coming up or places that people can find you?
Yes, I have some conferences coming up in actually in the industry that I came from. So mm-hmm. now that I'm an expatriate, I've had the opportunity to work with some companies and to attend and sit on a panel of some of those conferences. People can reach me. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm on LinkedIn. My name is Timothy Jones. So good luck finding me. I think I think you probably want to plug TJ
initial,
in there.
Yeah, right? Timothy J. Jones. Yes. What's the J for? TJ, J, TJ, J.
Yeah, Irish Catholic family. Yeah. Timothy James Jones.
James Jones, mm-hmm. right. Well, that's good.
And I have a website that's okay. under construction.
Right.
www.thecaringwarrior.com.
It's going to be a nice website once it's up and running, and people will be able to check that out and learn more about your background and leadership style and how that's evolving, because that is changing with the workforce changing as people become more aware of leadership. So, you know, so you think that we're all up, destined for good things when it comes to our next generation of leaders?
Absolutely. I feel like we're at the tipping point, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of very popular voices out there. I'm sure you're familiar with the TED Talks.
Sure.
You know, the top TED Talks are right in line with what it is that I'm preaching. Mm-hmm. Creativity, vulnerability, believe it or not. A woman named Susan Cuddy is a Harvard Business School professor. And she said the most important thing that people think about in the initial interaction with you, whether you've known them or you don't know them yet, is this person trustworthy? Do they care? Mm-hmm. And then are they competent at what they do?
How can you tell that from someone right away? Or what are some of the, like, is it body language? Is it verbal cues? How do you know if someone's trustworthy?
I think it's a combination of all those things. One of the things I talk about in the book is alignment. You know, so often what we think, how we feel, what we say, and what we do are mixed mm-hmm. and jumbled. And so I think people can pick up on that.
Yeah, and my thoughts mm-hmm. are often about that. I want to trust. I give everybody the benefit of the doubt as soon as I meet them, but I have been scarred so many times yeah. professionally and personally in my life
yeah.
that I need to actually experience something with someone to begin to develop that trust, not just a few moments of meeting them, you yeah. know, because we've met so many people and I've given trust so many times right out of the gate and been burned. So,
yeah, I think we're afraid to talk about these things because it sounds weak. You know, it sounds like, you know, you can't be successful if you think this way. And, you know, the success I had, you know, you mentioned earlier that the people that work with you, you know, you believe are smarter than you. Now, I'm not sure that's true.
But, she's smart enough to know.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I also surrounded myself with some incredibly talented people. But what the success that we had together, I believe, was because they knew that I had their back. Mm-hmm. They knew that I cared, that I cared about them, you know, developing in their careers, meet their financial goals, whatever the case may be. And so I guess I'm not afraid to say that really matters and we can do something about it.
Right. And not to name any names, but we are in a political season and we're seeing leadership on a different format on the stages of the newsroom here weeknights. So and you can see America leaning one way and another one right. So there's always different kinds of leaders out there. You've got to find out which style leader you are and mm-hmm. which one you resonate with. Some people like being told what to do all day, every day, you know, and that's, you saw that in the Army. Those guys were very happy not making up their own minds.
Well, that I think that's a little bit different, though, in some cases, because it's, you know, being told what to do is a little bit different than being told what to do by somebody that you think cares about you. Mm-hmm. And I think in the military, mm-hmm. you know, while you may hate this sergeant that's making you do all these horrible things that you think, you know, worn out and everything, mm-hmm. you also know on some level he's got your back,
yeah.
you know, and or hopefully has
hopefully,
your back,
right. No,
you know, and is doing these things to turn you into the soldier that you need to be.
Right. There's one moment I'll never forget. I was ordered to go clean the inside of a dumpster. Soldiers were throwing away recyclables in the regular dumpster, and the sergeant major was not happy about that. So he tasked a few of us to go out and clean the dumpster. I thought this was the lowest of the low, right? I mean, I would never do this. And I'm like, just dump the dumpster out and we'll start over. And then why do we have to clean it? But I'll never forget that moment, right? I don't know if he was doing it because he really cared about the maintenance and the orders of the barracks, or if he was just trying to impress some young soldiers as myself, but I'll never forget it. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I think, again, a misconception is that if you bring that caring spirit to the table, that things are going to be loose and willy-nilly. I believe that, you know, part of that is to create structures, processes within teams and within organizations that allow for communication and valuing other people's opinions. You know, one of the real basic things that I talk about in terms of teamwork is, have you created a credo, a modus operandi for what we will do together, how we will function, and how we will not function, and what we will not tolerate? You know, so for example, you know, there's always the meeting after the meeting, right?
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, walk out of the meeting and
small groups break out into, into smaller meetings.
And so, you know, one of the things that I recall typically agreeing upon or, you know, sort of pushing or nudging was, we will do our best. We will not triangulate. So if someone had a question, you know, particularly with me in the leadership role, let's talk about it directly. Let's care enough about one another to have honest conversation, as opposed to the festering that happens when the conversation happens outside of the individual that has something to do with it. Because every sitcom that's ever been out there is based on human misunderstandings.
Yeah, that's true.
And so
it'd be quite hilarious
when we really find out what somebody was thinking and feeling. We can get on the same page. And I'll leave you with I think something that's a great concept. We don't remember often what people say. You know, you remember the dumpster story because that's very memorable. But probably more than anything, what you remember is how you felt.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what we remember.
I couldn't remember if I was more mad or upset or grossed out or just overall just like, what? I can't believe I'm doing this. I mean, this is like lower than low.
Am I wearing the right outfit for this job?
Yeah, always wearing the uniform.
Let
for
me
sure.
ask a question on that, Ryan. Though, you know, after you and the other guys had cleaned out that dumpster.
Yes.
I imagine you shared with everybody in that if you ever throw another piece of recycling in this trash
yeah.
can. I'm going to just kick your butt.
You're absolutely right. We told the story to many of Joe around the barracks. And if I saw someone doing something wrong at that moment, I was like, look, this will happen to you if you continually throw your trash in the wrong spot.
He may have gotten his task completed.
I had another great leader. He was one of my team leaders once say to me, he said, you'll never remember the good times. You'll always remember the bad times. And in a way he's right. So those times when we were in the dumpster or when we were in the 150 degree heat marching, you know, all these miles, I remember that. The good times, sure, they are kind of more of a blur, but you know what really stands out? How I feel are those times when my emotions were, you know, all a churned because I didn't know what to feel.
Sure.
You know? So,
sure.
He was right.
There's teachable moments. I think sometimes the control and command type of leader will send somebody, you know, in your case, into a dumpster just to make themselves feel as though they're in charge or to, you know, remind people.
Others, right? Show
I'm
others.
The boss.
Right.
And so if there are teachable moments where, you know, someone is not only held accountable, but there's, you know, some type of punishment or, you know, action to be taken, then I think that's fine. I mean, and I think that also sets an example, as you said, for other people.
And I think we're all leaders on some levels. Whether you're in Absolutely. Charge of an organization or you're the lowly private on the front lines, people are watching you. And you've got to have integrity and doing the right thing when no one's looking. And you may find yourself in a leadership role and they may look back to those moments when you were an equal. And so we're all leaders to somebody out there. Mm-hmm. Me, I think it's just my dog. I think she's the only one who I influence these days. So, but Daisy's great. So, in a final segment here, we'd like to turn the conversation more towards Atlanta and how we're doing. You just arrived here. How long have you been here?
We've been here about a year and a half.
And you came from upstate New York?
I lived all over the Northeast with my family, four children, amazing wife. And so, you know, I often say, I grew up in the North, but I got to the South as soon as I could.
And prior to coming to Atlanta, what had you heard about Atlanta?
I heard great things. I mean, obviously the traffic was...
That's a sign of progress. That's a sign of growth. Yeah.
When we live in, you know, the northern area, mm-hmm. which is just continuing to expand rapidly. So, but we absolutely love it here. It's easier to say that. And, you know, these last couple of weeks have been absolutely beautiful.
Weather-wise, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time digging snow out of...
Not going to happen that this winter or coming up here in Atlanta. The summer's going to be a little hot than you probably used to.
Yeah.
But go find a nice lake to cool off in or a pool somewhere to dip your feet in. You'll enjoy that. And the business community and culture, you've been embraced since you've been here.
I have. I've met some entrepreneurs. I have actually done some work with a couple companies, UPS in the past.
Okay.
And SunTrust Bank.
Yep.
And so I'm just now getting out there outside of my industry and meeting people in other organizations. And so I work with individuals. Mm-hmm. I work with a few individuals that are motivated and disciplined and ready to do some of that deep work. I do teamwork. Activities, some of which are outside the office. Mm-hmm. And something that's kind of new in my bag of tricks is bringing fun to organizations.
Oh, yeah.
Having organizations create a fun department. And so don't mistake that for we run around all day long.
Slacking off.
Right. Now, it's short doses of things to relieve stress and to, you know, kind of lighten the mood and, so I'd be happy to tell people more about
mandatory
that.
Fun.
That's right.
We call it the Army. That's right. We would do fun things like that.
You will laugh.
And Atlanta's a lot of little communities and cities that come together as one major metropolitan area. As I know, Bonnie lives in town and enjoys a lot of that atmosphere down there. And it's been a great for you and your business here in Atlanta for sure.
Oh, absolutely. We were joking, like I never get outside the perimeter. It's just, you know, you stay in your own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we're firmly entrenched in Kirkwood and absolutely love it.
But, yeah.
Well, I'm hoping you two will introduce me to some people as well.
Certainly. We'd love to. know, here at Business Radio X, we do a quarterly networking mixer. And so we'll certainly put you on the guest list for that. So next time you can meet past show guests, other studio owner operators, and everything in between as you continue to get the word out about the Caring Warrior. And I know Atlanta's proud to have you here as a resident now, and you're doing great work. Let's remind our listeners again how they can get in touch with you and find out more information.
That's right. Well, real simple, tj@timothyjjones.com, the Caring Warrior website will be up and running shortly. And please connect with me on LinkedIn. I just opened a Twitter account, so I haven't tweeted much, but I will be blogging and sending out some good information on social media.
Good. And we'll have those contacts up later on atlantabusinessradio.com. And certainly come back and be a guest as we feature business leaders all the time here on the program. And I know they can learn a thing or two from you and incorporate into their business strategy as well. So thank you so much, TJ.
Thank you.
All right. And Bonnie, another great show. Tell our listeners how they can find out more information about BBR Marketing.
Well, you can go to bbrmarketing.com or our Facebook page. We're on Twitter, LinkedIn. And I just want to give a quick shout out. Today is Red Nose Day.
Okay.
Which is a day, there's actually a comedy special on TV tonight, and it's an effort to raise money to support children in need in the United States and around the world. And as a company, we decided that everybody that posts a picture of themselves with a red nose on our Facebook page at BBR Marketing, we will be donating $1 to the cause. So
let's hope you get tens of thousands of pictures.
Let's kind of hope not.
but that would be good.
But yes, we would absolutely, we encourage people. And it's just fun. Back to the fun department thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's having a good time with it today.
Yeah,
so.
And taking photos and sharing their good cheer via social media. So yes, I participated in a picture earlier today, so you can probably find that later on Bonnie's Facebook page.
Me too.
And we look forward to next time for Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors. We'll be able to hear Bonnie's update of her and her husband in the cabin for the weekend. It could go bad or could go good. Stay tuned for more. Let's hope for the good. And if your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market and your community, reach out to us directly on the contact page at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. We'd be glad to feature you here on the program. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan McPherson. Until next time, we'll see you on Atlanta Business Radio.